Well, yesterday, Scott Minard, who's the global chief investment officer of Guggenheim Partners, came out with one of the most bearish notes I have ever seen yet in this cycle. He first started saying that the coronavirus is a looming economic problem, but sort of indicated that that was just one of many of them, and then wrote this: "I have never in my career seen anything as crazy as what's going on right now. I have said before that we've entered the silly season, but I stand corrected. We are in the ludicrous season." Axel Merck joining us now, President and Chief Investment Officer of Merck Investments. Do you agree, Axel?
We ended the ludicrous season a long, long time ago. The question is we still need to live and make a living and try to make sense of some of it, right? First, we need to understand what's happening and so forth. But in the context of the virus, right, we've always had shocks. We know that usually markets were the worst when we've most talked about them. So the fact that we're talking about the virus probably means that we're not at the peak yet, because otherwise you'll talk to other even bigger experts, right? But in all seriousness, the U.S. is more isolated from a lot of what's happening here. And so that may well be one of the reasons why the U.S. is doing comparatively well. And so we are focused on all kinds of other things. And I just might to remind people, we were talking about World War III at the beginning of this year, which didn't quite materialize. So markets have a habit of moving on. And with interest rates as low as they are, we quote unquote discount the short term things. And so we live happily ever after.
In terms of living happily ever after, is that driven simply by the fact that there's so much cash sloshing around the global system with, central banks very, very accommodative?
Well, one way to answer your question: if interest rates were at 6% in the U.S., markets wouldn't be as happy. I mean, from that point of view, certainly it's correct. One minor issue I have with that statement is that every time a crisis hits, we lower rates. And I was arguing last year that lower rates don't exactly help the trade war, right? Similarly, a rate cut doesn't cure an illness. And so I don't think that rates is everything that's driving it. But one thing, of course, that takes place when we have money printing is we take perceived risk out of the market. Risk premia get compressed. And ultimately what it does, it doesn't foster healthy capital allocation. But at the same time, yes, I mean, if we had a more serious disruption, and right now, by all means, there are certain local disruptions, conferences get canceled, and there's a fallout from that, supply chains get disrupted, but big business is able to deal with some of that. So it's not as simple as saying, hey, the central banks are foaming here, the runway, and therefore everything is fine. I do think central banks play a role in this, are a very important piece of the puzzle, but it's not everything that's going on.
I want to pick up on what you said with respect to misallocating capital. People are looking at how companies are using extra cash they're generating to buy back their shares, pay out dividends. They're not using it to invest in their businesses necessarily. We're seeing capital expenditures continue to decline. How long can this continue with an expansion versus having it bleed into the economy in a negative way?
Well, last time we talked about Goldilocks was in 2004, 2005. It didn't end too well, but it lasted for several more years. It's very difficult to time those sort of things. And so the concern I have is that everybody talks about our economy slowing down. I'm actually more concerned about the other end. It's not the most likely scenario. But what if all this accommodative monetary policy, the fiscal stimulus we have, and presumably we're going to get a Chinese stimulus in due course, is actually going to get us a hot economy with inflation? Everybody says it's a good problem to have. But how do you tighten monetary policy when corporations have gotten weaker, when they stretch their balance sheets? We cannot afford to have higher rates. It's one of the reasons we have these low rates. But what if something goes wrong at the other end of the spectrum, that things are too good, so to speak? Then the Fed needs to tighten and everything crumbles, right? And so a credit-driven society is a more, quote-unquote, efficient society. Greenspan used to say that. But it's a more fragile society in some ways, because when things go wrong, people fall through the cracks. And so, yes, we can sustain this for an extended period. I'm not convinced that this is the best way to move forward. But then again, I'm just an observer here, right, or a humble participant in the markets. I'm not the one calling the shots. So we just have to deal with the cards we're dealt with.
So, Axel, just switching gears a little bit, looking at commodities, there is an area that has certainly felt the pain, maybe reflecting some of the global economic uncertainty, maybe tied to the coronavirus. One commodity that is not worried seems to be gold. So we're seeing a lot of good movement in gold. What is your thoughts about gold here, given some of those uncertainties?
Well, we've long looked at and invested in the gold market. The one thing we observe is that investors want to have their cake and eat it. And what I mean with that is that usually when you have a crisis, people would run to cash. But maybe because people have had such amazing gains over the years, they rather diversify to gold or even more volatile gold mining, so that with a small addition to their portfolio, they can get diversification. I'm not suggesting everybody should do that, but we see that certainly happening. We do some of that ourselves because it's ultimately cash isn't all that attractive. And so that's why people use those sort of things. What we see in that sector is that because the price of gold is moving, it attracts a lot of traders. And so speculative positions are at record highs and so forth. Those speculators love it when things are moving. Those are in there. The diversification folks are in there. The folks who say, well, whatever's going to happen in the medium term, can't end too well, those investors are there. So we see that there is a really early wave of investors coming back in. And on the gold mining side, companies are far more prudent with how they manage these mines than they had been in the last cycle.
Just about 30 seconds here. You deal with the cards that you're dealt. What are you doing? What are you allocating your money to?
We haven't changed all that much. We bought a little bit in China at during the Chinese New Year, and to the extent we could in U.S. markets. But that's really just play money. And again, that's not investment advice here. But beyond that, we've really stuck to our guns and tried to look at the longer term picture. And so yes, we have exposure to risk assets, but yes, we do have significant assets also to allocations to something like gold and gold mining.
Axel Merk, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your thoughts and commentary. Axel Merk, President and Chief Investment Officer of Merk Investments, based in San Francisco.